Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the NATCO Pharma's Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call, hosted by 360 ONE Capital Markets Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hrishikesh Patole from 360 ONE Capital Markets Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of 360 ONE, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call of NATCO Pharma. Hope everyone is in good health and doing well. On behalf of NATCO today, we have with us Mr. Rajeev Nannapaneni, Vice Chairman and CEO, Mr. Amit Parekh, CFO, Mr. Rajesh Chebiyam, Executive Vice President, Crop Health Sciences, and Mr. Raju Menon, Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Rajesh for the management's opening remarks, post which we'll open the session for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Great. Thank you, Hrishikesh. Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to NATCO's conference call discussing our earnings results for the fourth quarter of FY 2026, which ended March 31st, 2026. During this call, we may be making certain forward-looking statements which are not necessarily historical facts, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. We undertake no obligations to update these forward-looking statements. I would like to state that the material of the call, except for participant questions, is the property of NATCO and cannot be recorded or rebroadcast without NATCO's express written permission. We'll begin with the results highlight and then follow up with an interactive Q&A session. NATCO recorded consolidated total revenue of 4,375.9 crores for the year ended March 31st, 2026, as against 4,784 crores for the last year. The net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 1,418.5 crores as against 1,883.4 crores last year. For the fourth quarter, which ended March 31st, 2026, the company recorded a net revenue of 816.9 crores on a consolidated basis as against 1,287.3 crores during fourth quarter of last year. The profit for the fourth quarter on a consolidated basis was 269 crores, including the share of profit of associate, as against 406 crores same period last year. Net profit for the quarter and financial year includes a one-time benefit of 115 crores as the company has elected to move to the new tax regime from FY 2026-2027 and has remeasured its deferred tax assets on MAT credit and other deferred tax assets/liabilities. For the quarter, revenue from the associate company, Adcock Ingram Holdings Limited, South Africa, was at 1,208.2 crores, and profit after tax was at 102.5 crores. NATCO's share of profit based on the current holdings stood at 35.7 crores. Thank you all. Now we'll take the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants, you are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Candice Pereira from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is on the sales. So on a YOY basis, it is much lower. So I understand it's probably because of Revlimid. But did we have any impact from the West Asia war as well?
This quarter, you say? No, okay. First question was, what was the impact? I think, as you rightly pointed out, there's an impact of Revlimid, that's driven by there's a decline. The second question was, did we have an impact of Middle East? We were able to supply the product. We had some challenges, but we were able to supply. But there's been an increase in the freight expenses because we had to reroute from our traditional carriers. But we were able to manage.
Okay. And also, our other expenses are much higher as a percentage to sales this quarter. Is there any one-time impact of anything in this?
Yeah. Hi. So yeah, the other expenses, largely this quarter, we had a higher R&D expenses. And also during the quarter, we had looked into some of the engineering spares and all, there were some write-downs. So net-net, it is largely because of R&D expense and little bit because of the engineering spares rate.
Can you quantify this?
Yeah, so R&D, so engineering write-down would be around 20-30 crores. And R&D would be the remaining, large part of the remaining would be the R&D.
Okay, all right. And our FY27, FY28, our tax rate would be around 22%, right? According to the new tax regime.
So including the surcharge, it would be around 25%, 25.17.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We
will take the next question from the line of Rahul Chaudhary, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. The presentation doesn't have any guidance for the coming year.
Our expectation is, Rahul, that we should do about 3,400 to 3,500 crores of revenue. Our PAT expectation is between 700 to 750 crores PAT. I'm making an estimate with some assumption of some increase because of the war. But again, I can't predict everything what's going to happen to the year, but there's been some, we've built in some buffer, but I think that's our expectation that we'll do. And in addition to that, our South African associate firm should do, depending on the exchange rate, about $580 to $600 million of revenue. And the PAT expectation of that is about $47 to $48 million. Again, subject to how the exchange rate moves and other war-related factors. So the associate profit is subsumed in the 700 to 750 crore projection.
So, this quarter, did it have any substantial pomalidomide revenue, or we are going to book it in Q1 mostly, because it's a 6-month bump up only we'll get, the shared thing?
I didn't see a bump, honestly, Rahul. It's fairly comparative. I don't see, we had a little bit of a sale, but nothing substantial that can make a meaningful impact on the earnings. It was a reasonable launch, but I think we launched with multiple generics. Even though namesake it's an exclusivity, but I think we had multiple generics in the first wave. I think 4 or 5 guys had exclusivity. I don't know the exact number. So it's been fairly competitive.
So what would be the cash in books? I didn't see it there in the presentation. I must have missed it.
So net cash would be around 2,400 crores at a group level.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Thadavarti Sai Surendra, an retail investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, management team. This is Sai Surendra. Thank you for giving up the opportunity. I have 2 questions, sir. Over the last several quarters, shareholders have been waiting for the meaningful value creation. Can you please explain what are the key triggers that is to improve the investor confidence and to drive growth in the coming year?
Your question is, what are the key products for the year, financial year 26-27? Is that the question? If I understand it correctly.
Yes.
I think there are two, three good triggers. I think one is semaglutide we have launched. I think it was first generic of the vial, so that is doing reasonably well. We could launch on day one on the pen, but we could launch the vial on day one. We're able to cater to a market which is very price sensitive. So even the revenue that you're getting for vial is maybe one third or one fourth of what you're getting on the pen. But in terms of market share, I think there's been a good uptake. And our, particularly our Brazilian sub is going to do very well. We had a lot of first-time launches in Brazil in our oncology portfolio. So these two will be the major triggers. And of course, we'll be having consolidated income coming from South Africa, from our shareholding in South Africa. So I think compared to the past, I think Natco has a more diversified revenue. And these earnings are, you know, without lenalidomide. So obviously there's a drop compared to last year. I think the impact on our earnings is substantial. But I think in spite of the fact that there's, you know, there's practically no lenalidomide, or it's a very, you know, comparative lenalidomide, we are able to, you know, generate about 700. Our expectation of 700-750 PAT is, I think, a reasonable achievement.
Okay,
thank you.
Next question. FY26 was a challenging year compared to FY24. What would give the management confidence that in the FY27 will be better year for shareholders?
I think, the way you want to look at this is, I think we have always guided there will be a decline. I think our commentary has always been that we will decline. I think you need to understand that the nature of this business is that you're going to have one-offs, and then you're going to do very well at this time. And then when there's going to be a drop, you're going to have a year or two where you're going to see a dip. And again, a larger event happens and things will, it's a cyclical business. And I think the nature of the beast. And because we bet on a lot of these jackpots, when the jackpot comes, then earnings look good. Or you have an exclusivity, looks good. When you don't have the exclusivity, it doesn't, you know, the numbers look good. But I think you have to look at it. I take the bigger picture. I think we have a very good pipeline for the future with a lot of exclusivities coming up. We don't have anything in 27, that's true. But I think post 27, you'll see some of these other exclusivities will start kicking in. And I think 28 onwards, you'll be able to see a reasonable rise in. Thank you. Next caller, please.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to you all, you may press star and one to ask a question. We will take the next question from the line of Rishikesh Patole. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So quickly on the full year subsidiary sales, what was the number?
Just the subs.
Yes.
Amit, can you help me out, please? Just the subs. Just give me a moment. Yeah, this time.
It's around 500 crores.
Okay, and just a follow-up on that on subsidiaries. I mean, you mentioned Brazil on the previous for the answer on the previous participant. Brazil doing well. And what about Canada and other markets? I mean, do we expect SEMA to come through this calendar year, Canada? And how probably SEMA than any other products in Canada?
No, we have other oncology products which are coming through both in Brazil and Canada. SEMA, we don't have a filing in Canada yet. I think we are working on a few things. No. In the first wave, we're not there in SEMA. But our oncology pipeline is there in both Brazil and Canada. And that's what is going to drive you.
Okay. And my second question is on the M&A. I mean, post the ad hoc, we have said we are looking for one more. I mean, how is the progress there? Any update?
We're looking at a couple of transactions. Yeah, sure. I think we, as Amit said, we have about 2,400 crore net cash. So very comfortable we can look at one or two large acquisitions. So we're looking at different things. As of now, I don't have an update, but hopefully we'll be able to achieve something in this financial year as well. Thank you. Thanks for all.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Udaya Prakash from Value Research. Please go ahead. Udaya, please proceed with the question.
Yeah, hope I'm audible now.
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. So I just want to get a picture on growth beyond FY27. I get that you said that FY27 will be a muted year, but FY28 onwards, you know, we can see a ramp up in revenue and profit based on, you know, because the exclusivities are losing and everything. So I just wanted to get a better picture that what kind of, you know, medicines are coming up, what therapeutic areas, and most importantly, have we already filed for them or are the exclusivities just ending at those in at that period and we'll file for them at that point and the verdict will only be known after this? If you could give us a picture.
Okay, let me answer that question. So basically, you know, we made a small mistake, so I just want to correct that before we answer your question. Our subs revenue last year was 730 crores, not 500, we made a spend error. Regarding to answer your question about what pipeline do we have, I think we can't name which exclusivity is going to happen which year because a lot of these are bound by confidentiality. We can only disclose them closer to the launch. What I can tell you confidently is that we have some exclusivities will get triggered in the financial year 27-28. And we also have some launches in Brazil and Canada in both 27 and 28, which will drive us. So both US, Brazil and Canada will drive our earnings. All three markets will drive our earnings. You will see the sub revenues from 730 grow dramatically. We'll also see exclusivity revenue coming from the US. In terms, I can't name it, so I got that, but that question I've answered. But I think how much do we see bump in our earnings? I mean, that's the question. I mean, I'll be better able to predict with time, but I think we see that our earnings should compound around 15-25% every year starting from 28. So 27 will be your base year where we'll settle around 770. From there onwards, we'll be compounded growing around 15-25% depending on the level of exclusivity and how much market share we get. I think you'll see a more, stable compounding growth rather than the one-offs that you've seen in the past, henceforth the next 2-3 years.
Okay. And the second question is on the South African business that, we made an investment in recently. I get that in our overall portfolio, it, you know, helps us diversify our revenue sources and everything. But from the business perspective, what is the value that Natco adds for them?
Which investment? I'm sorry, I didn't catch. Which company?
The South African investment that we made.
Okay, Adcock, you're saying, right? See, basically, if you look at the world, you know, there are about 10 to 15 markets that you need to be present to be successful. And right now, our position in Adcock is about 35%. Hopefully, over a period of time, we'll be able to increase our shareholding as and when major shareholder gives us an opportunity. I think that's the arrangement that we have. So you got to look at these things strategically. I mean, you can't look at them in terms of, we're only getting a see-through only on 35%. But you have to look at, you're in a number two company in South Africa. And to build a company like that overnight in South Africa wouldn't have been possible without the acquisition. And in a competitive generic environment like ours, it's very difficult to grow organically. You have to grow inorganically. And unless you do these bold acquisitions, you're not able to acquire, share and size and scale. This business now is all about scale. You need to be present in those 8 or 10 countries, have a filing in multiple countries and able to get scale. You might get wrong in 1 or 2 markets, but there will be some market that will work. And then it'll give you the ROI and your investment. And the pipeline is going to get more competitive and it's the only way you can build. And to get share on these new markets, you have to do an acquisition. If you start from scratch, we've seen in Brazil, now we're making money, but it's a 10-year journey. So I think you have to wait that long. So I think if you want to jumpstart things, you need to buy. Otherwise, things won't happen.
Okay. If I could squeeze in just another question. What is the outlook for South African pharmaceutical market in your opinion? And let's say the growth outlook for the next 5 years. And also, let's say 5 years later, I know this is a very futuristic question, but 5 years later, at a profit level, what is the contribution we think that the investment would make, contribute to? Let's say, around, can we expect something around 15%-20%?
Of our earnings, you're saying? See, right now it is like, if you look at, if you normalize our earnings this quarter, I think about what, it's about, let me just take a help of a calculator, just one second. South Africa represents about 22% of our earnings right now, of our base earnings. So it's, see, the two things, my friend. See, one is that we always were very U.S.-focused. So what we are doing deliberately now is trying to build a diversified portfolio in Brazil, Canada, India, and U.S. so that we can get earnings which are more diversified, which is what we have achieved through the acquisition. Two, we hope, now see, we're doing a lot of new initiatives in terms of finding new products, our oncology pipeline, GLP, and all. So the benefit of that, you're able to see over a period of 2-3 years. Right now, the return that we're getting is probably only slightly better than bank interest. But over a period of time, you'll see the benefit where you'll be able to see about 15%-20% return on capital or even more. But it'll take time, but you need to play this, you have to play this patiently.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thanks. Next caller.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Sudhanshu from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question is regarding the other expense increase on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So it's a steep jump, and as was explained some time ago, it's primarily being driven by R&D spends. So just wanted to know what is driving this surge in R&D spends. Is it like imminent launch, which is leading to filing expenses and other things? And secondly, is it going to be the recurring rate at which this expense is expected?
So there are two parts to the question. See, you can't time your R&D expenditure. When you start a project, you have to pay. Any R&D expenditure you do is a very long-term investment. Nothing happens within 6 months or 8 months. They all happen 4 years, 5 years, 7 years. You're investing for the future. In terms of the expense this particular quarter, I think part of it is R&D. Part of it also, we had an inventory write-down of certain stores and spares. Engineering spares, we had a one-time write-down. I think that was the reason it happened. In terms of R&D expenditure next year, I think we expect to spend about 7%-9%. And in terms of earnings, we have already budgeted that, and I think our patch assumes this expenditure. You might have one quarter where you'll have higher expense, one quarter you might have higher, profit, but if you sort of normalize it over a year, I think, all the expenses are baked in and the profit is after that.
Understood. Understood.
Okay.
The second question is, there is a corresponding surge also in the other income head. So what is the reason on quarter-on-quarter basis, other income is rising?
I mean, that typical other income typically tends to be, I'll tell you what the other income items are. So typically there's interest income, this PLI income and licensing fee when we, what do you call, do product licensing. And so in that particular quarter, we had some licensing income for the India launch of semaglutide, and then we had some other licensing income that we got from foreign partners. So, I mean, these are all cyclical, depending on an event. Specifically asking for this quarter, these were the major events.
Got it. And Rajeev, one question, which is basically regarding the semaglutide launch in India. So you were there in the pen market, I think in the vial market, not in the pen market. So how has been the outcome so far versus your initial expectation, both in terms of the market size that you are seeing, which is forming up and evolving daily, and your own performance, company's own performance in that addressable market?
It's been a very competitive launch. I mean, I'll be honest with that. And we couldn't launch on day one on the pen for logistical reasons. We launched it a month later. So pen, we're getting some share, but we're doing better with the vial than the pen. So, but fortunately, vial, we're the only generic in the market. So, and with our partners, Eris and Glenmark, we're able to get very good share.
Understood.
The run rate now, we are doing about, our brand is doing about 2 crores a month. And our partners, I think, our sale, if you see, you will be having about 4-5 crore bump in our earnings, including our partners. So you can say semaglutide has added about 4 crores a month on our sale in our, I mean, I'm normalizing it for, you know, in a one-time launch quantities and all. Where do we see this number? I think we are thinking that we should be able to do about 75 to 100 crores annualized over the year. Will we be able to achieve it? This is what our expectations. I mean, the market has been super competitive, but you know, I think we got a reasonable good start, and I think and we are able to disrupt the market. But still, the market is, in terms of sale is still with the pen. But like the proposition on the vial is this, okay? The pen sells for, I mean, normalized between 3,000 to 4,000 rupees. The vial sells for less than 1,000 bucks. So there's a market which is willing, who's unwilling to pay 3 to 4,000 rupees, is willing to pay only 1,000 rupees per month. So that market we're able to catch. So, I mean, there's a play for everyone and every market, but I think that's our expectation. That's where we are.
If I can ask one more question, if
sure,
you
have sure, fine.
Time. In the last couple of calls, you had mentioned about company looking at a few more acquisitions. So if you have got any update on that front, how or if any target has been identified?
We are running a couple of transactions, you know, but again, nothing has come to a stage where it is, where I can tell you something. But these are always ongoing negotiations. When they come to a stage where we can announce, we'll definitely speak about it. But if the question is, are we working on transactions? Yes, we are working on transactions. Two, are we comfortable doing a transaction? Absolutely, yes. We can do it. Anything that will strategically strengthen our core business and build geographical distribution. But at this time, I have nothing to report. Thank you.
Got it.
Thanks, Paul.
These are all the questions. Thank you.
Thanks.
All the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to you all, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of S. Ram, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Any updates on NRC-2694, sir? When is it commercializing?
I think it's too early stage, my friend. At this time, I have nothing much to report.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Anirudh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Good evening. Are we looking to increase our innovative portfolio like the NRC-2694? Are we planning for any other innovative pipelines?
That's the only active one that's running in our internal company pipeline. The other ones, primarily, I think the biggest one that we've done is we've done an $8 million investment in eGenesis. That is probably the most exciting of our innovative pipeline. So that you've probably seen the news. They are the first company in the world which has done a genetically modified pig kidney, which was transplanted into human being. They have done 2 patients so far, and the patients were able to do well for about 6 months, and then finally they got resistant. They're trying to figure out what the right dose is in terms of the immunosuppression, so that could take the program forward. This is probably the most exciting one, and if this will start making progress as we go along. And in addition to kidney, they're also looking at liver at this time. So I think of the, if you're specifically asking me, most advanced of our, what do you call, innovative pipeline, that's probably that investment. So I think that's the most exciting one.
Awesome. And are we planning for completing the acquisition in FY27, or is it going to be extended to FY28?
Acquisition, you're saying? I think we're shopping. I think hopefully we'll be able to close something in financial year 27. But as I said, you know, these things, you know, until it's done, it's not done. So I think we just, if the question is, are we shopping? Yes. Are we hoping to close something? Yes. But have we closed anything yet? No. So I think that's where we are. Yeah. Thank you. Next call.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Khalid Mohammed from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to ask if you have any tentative milestones for eGenesis business?
Tentative milestones. I think once they start doing more patients, and then once they get an idea of, what the right immunosuppression dose is. I think one thing is clear, the fact that the transplant works and the patients are able to do well for about 6 months itself is a very monumental achievement. I think the scheme of things, if you just think that you're able to transplant an animal kidney and put that in a human and the human being is able to do well for a few months, is an absolutely monumental thing. The question now is what is the right immunosuppressant dose which will make it work? I think is the question that they're grappling with. And if they have an answer to that question as we keep dosing more patients, I think then you have a breakthrough. I think that's the question they are trying to answer. And that only time will answer.
So, do you see that happening in over 3 years, 5 years, anything?
I think they're trying to recruit more patients. I think my understanding is that they will going to do more transplants in the coming year. So I think in the next 12 to 18 months, I think we'll see more transplants and then they'll have greater experience in terms of what's the right way to handle these patients. But it's absolutely, exciting work and it's absolutely breakthrough work. And this will change, science in a big way. So I'm personally very excited, but these are all like, moonshots, as you know. I mean, these have reasonable amount of risk, but if you get it right, that 8 million is worth a lot of money, right? So I think that's very, so, okay.
Yeah, I share the, but when do you see the share coming to the top line? Like any timeline or what's the quantum that you think?
I can't tell you something that even I myself have no idea about. What I can tell you is that's what happens with NCE. I think you need to understand that when you do these things, it's a binary event. Either you will hit it or otherwise it won't happen. You just have to be patient and, we'll give you patient updates, based on whatever we hear. I mean, they also update their websites regularly and tell about all the major breakthroughs that are happening on breakthrough events. You just have to be patient. Hopefully in 12, 18 months, they're able to get more breakthroughs, which are more exciting, then I can come back and report to you. But you just have to be patient. That's how it works.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Neeraj Kyle, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to ask you about our crop sciences division. I wanted to understand this division, the industry, if you can give any color on that and our business.
Thank you. That's a good question. So I think my colleague Rajesh will answer, and he'll also tell us about our pre-merging process as well. Rajesh, can you speak a few minutes?
Hi, Neeraj. So, as you're aware, so we're in the process of demerging the business. And one of the primary reasons we felt also it gives a more focused approach because the business, ultimately, the customers are quite different. See, one of the key things we are pursuing as part of our approach is, again, trying to find molecules which are a little differentiated from most of the other players. And the approach that we've taken towards pharma, right? So products which could be unique, which could be patent controlled, limited competition. So that's the approach that we are taking. So we have slowly building on overall presence in the market, right? It's been only 3-4 years of our commercial presence, actually. And so the past 2 years has been mostly learning in terms of how the market works and all that. But we believe that once you have a very strong product and with the right offering to the farmers, I think we can do wonders. So, yeah. So, in terms of sale, let's say this year we ended up close to 140 crores, right? And as opposed to a declared number for last year was about 60 crores. So from 140, we certainly have aspirations to grow significantly well. It's also being driven by, you know, product launches as well as the penetrations with the channels. Okay. So the channel partners that we have as compared to most of our peers is still less. So this is the primary. So both products, channels, and also the people additions, all these activities are going on. So I think we're fairly confident going forward. And that's also one of the main reasons for re-emerging and having more focus on the business. Is that good?
Yeah, thanks. That's all from my side.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Rahul Chaudhary, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So my first question is, follow-up question is regarding the semaglutide pens. I don't see any like media or advertisement about the pen launch. You said you've already launched it. Single dose or multi dose?
We launched the pen. We said that when we did the announcement, what we said was we want to launch next month. I think we launched it a while in March, and we said that we launched the pen in April. I think that's what we announced. We didn't actually, when the launch happened, we didn't announce again. We thought it was covered in the earlier press announcement. You were not first launched, so we're not there on day one. So I think that's the reason why we didn't make so much noise. Typically, when you're day one, you make more noise and make the announcement. The vial was on day one, so that's why we announced that we made a little more noise about that.
Okay, so are we selling it through the digital pharma platforms? Sell like, I don't know, like Tata One, MG, PharmEasy, like, or it's...
Exactly, I don't know. I think they work with different channels. I think that some digital platforms are also selling our products. But I think we have... but again, they're all required prescriptions and all, so I think you know what the drill is, but...
Because I'm using Noveltree, this is our rivals, and I'm an ADCO investor. I feel very shitty when I have, very sad when I have to buy that, and I can't find ADCO's products here in Guwahati. So that's...
I understand, but you know, there are, you know, challenges with that as well, no? I think, but you know, I think out of the products that we are having in the semaglutide portfolio, our vial has done better than the pen. I think clearly, I think that's where we are at success.
So, just one last follow-up question. So, we are 100% control of what we do. That is our company. And we are going to have a pretty, subdued year ahead as per your own remarks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, we have a lot of cash. So, are we not at all open to buybacks at a certain price point? Because...
I mean, no. You ask me a straight question, I'll give you a straight answer. No. I'll tell you the reason for that is because my personal belief is this cash should be used for an acquisition which will give us more long-term return. And I think there are opportunities where we can diversify our portfolio and build a more strong global footprint company. And I mean, a lot of the, you know, the challenges that we had, the last few years have been great, but they've been very, you know, because of our concentrated bets. And I think we need to evolve into a more diversified bet and as a firm. So that gives you more stable earnings. And for that, you need to do acquisitions. And that's, I think, a bet, a superior use of our cash rather than buyback can also be considered at the right time. But at this point, no. My thinking is that let's spend money on it.
So, sir, just for this acquisition that you are planning or targeting, you must have zeroed it down to a specific geography by now, or...
I can't answer that question now. We're looking at different deals. When it comes to a certain stage, we'll talk about it, not at least.
Okay, is it okay within the country as well, or all outside?
I'm actually more bullish outside India. I'm not bullish in India. So I think valuations outside India are more reasonable compared to...
Okay, thank you, sir.
Next caller.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Rishikesh Padole from 361 Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so quickly, this question is to Rajesh. I mean, given the West Asia war and the
subsequent cost inflation, what would be the impact on our agrichem business? I mean, we have seen a lot of peers in the agrichem specialty chemical business talk about
cost. The impact on what? Can you please repeat?
Are we now broke?
The war, what will be the business impact on the agrichem business?
But see, one of the things like which Ms. Rajiv also mentioned earlier, they know the input material costs are going up, right? So so we have already seen 25% to 30% increase in the input raw materials. And see, I think even industry, fortunately, most of the procurement for the kharif, at least half of the procurement has already been done. So we, you know, with that inventory pre-existing, we are able to still manage at a price. But going forward, it is uncertain. I think that there's likely increases of prices as well. But we are closely monitoring the market and the, you know, the competitive behavior as well before we make our decisions.
But I think pharma is a little more different. Okay, I just want to clarify that. Like pharma, I think even though there's been increase of some inputs, we have reasonable amount of inventory. So the impact of that you're not seeing, you'll not see in the June and August quarter. You might see it in the later part of the year. And the exchange and depreciation was sort of kind of offset some of the increase of raw materials. So I think net there is an impact, but we are able, at least the export business has not been relatively less impacted than the domestic. I think we see the anybody who's doing export, relatively the impact has been less compared to the people who have exposure to outright domestic business. The agriculture business will have more impact because the exposure is high on domestic sales. But I think as a principle, I'd like to tell you that export business is definitely less impact.
Okay. Sure. Thank you. And just to follow up on that, I mean, have we commenced the exports?
But for agro business is less, very small. Mostly it's the domestic.
Yeah. Predominantly domestic only.
Okay. And the question was just as a update on the plant status. Can you just provide an update on all the plants?
You're breaking up. Plant status, you're talking about pharma.
USFDA status on all the plants.
Okay, we have four USFDA facilities in our system. We have two API plants and two finished dosage factories. In the year 2025, we had inspections in three of them. So, and Kothur, which is our formulation facility, Chennai, which is our API facility, and Mekhuda, which is our API facility. So all three got inspected and all three got cleared and we got EIRs. Vizag is a facility that has not had an inspection, I would say long time. So we're expecting an inspection sometime this year, any moment. So Vizag is the only one which is pending. Otherwise, the other three has been inspected in 2020, the last financial. 25.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Aditya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, ma'am. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
Sir, so I would like to ask the question that you have planned many expansions in foreign countries. So what would be the gestation period of that and when can we see the returns on the P&L?
I think Brazil we are seeing right now. Canada has been stable. US, we just bought a front end about a few years ago. Still is losing money, so hopefully this year we'll be able to break even. South Africa, we just invested. The value of that will take about, I think in my personal view, will take about 3-4 years before we start seeing value of where we are. So every business is going through a different phase. Indonesia is, you know, still losing money. We're going to catch up. So I think, see, if you start from scratch, it takes 5 to 7 years to build a business. If you buy something, then it takes probably 2 to 3 years before you start seeing an outcome. So. But everything is a very long gestation, I mean, because just a regulatory approval on a product takes 2-3 years. So I think that's how the cycle works in our business.
So, sir, just a follow-up question. We are doing this as a strategy for US plus other countries, right? To diversify the whole portfolio and not be dependent on tariffs. Not be exposed to tariffs.
Yeah, I think if you look at our earnings today, I think our hirings primarily come from four markets: India, US, Brazil, Canada, and now South Africa through our associates. So I would say five countries, stand corrected, five countries. Earlier it used to be only US. Now we have five. And the earnings now, these five countries are giving the base profitability now. So I think that's a pretty good diversification that we have done. And this is, and didn't happen overnight. I mean, as when you're saying that this event is like this, you know, it has been about the last 50 years of diligent investment and in R&D and filings and market access and launches and manufacturing. So we've seen the fruits of that as we at this time.
Okay, so this is last question from my side. Over the last years, we have seen stupendous margins, about 40 to 50%. So do you see that being stable, or be it contracting or expanding in the future years?
I think we've given guidance. I think this year it's going to decline. So as I said, our earnings will, you know, there'll be a dip in our earnings this year. Last year we did, you know, this year, I mean, March, obviously we did about 1400 crores back, as you're aware. So it's going to drop by half. So I think they will see a contraction for sure. We're going to drop to about 700, 750 this year. But you know, things will turn around. But as of now, yeah, to answer your question, yes, there'll be a dip.
Okay. This was all from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We will take the next question from the line of Manohar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is that is there any chance the company will get a sustainable and stable profits in the future? Because we cannot endure this roller coaster like revenues and profit dips.
See, Manohar, let me answer this in a way that you're comfortable. See, the nature is you need to accept that certain businesses are roller coaster. I think communication has been very clear that you're going to have a couple of good years, then you're going to have 1 or 2 years where it's going to be dip. That's the nature of this business. I can't come and tell you, when you have the upside is very strong and you have extraordinary amount of margins. When things dip, normalize, you're not going to have. And that's the nature of this business. And I think as an investor, you need to sort of accept that, you know, that they're going to have this roller coaster ride. And what I can do, the best thing I can do, Manohar, is tell you that this is a roller coaster ride. And this is how you need to pay your expectation. And this is how it's going to be. And I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer to that question. But that's how it's going to be. But however, having said that, I've been very cognizant about avoiding volatility. And I think that's why we've done all these investments like South Africa and build this front end in Brazil. Still, you know, in spite of, you know, the volatility, we're able to maintain a pretty good profitability, and I've been doing about, you know, whatever we projected this year, and it is the way it is. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Another question is that I have been following this NATCO company and you for more than 2 years for now, and you have been very honest with your answers, but is there any chance or your intentions or plans to become a NATCO to be a Dr. Reddy or a Sun Pharma like company?
I always aspire for that, Manohar. I always believe that. But thing is, see, true success only comes if you're willing to play the game for the long haul. If you're going to come and say, I'll give you a very honest answer. If you want like great things to happen in the next 5 years, you've got to invest for the long term, which means you need to have the ability to ignore short-term earnings volatility. Because when we're investing in something, we need to believe that this investment will work and it'll take 3-4 years for it to pay off. I believe we can build a global company. I think that journey has already started. And I think our investment in Adcock proves that to you. And I think if you look at, you know, Adcock and Adcock's turnover together, I think we have passed, this year we have passed almost touching more than $1 billion in revenue. So I think in that sense, we've really built a global company, and in all with, you know, very modest amount of money that we've had, we're able to build these jackpots and use this money to buy these assets. So I think you just have to be patient. You're going to have 1 or 2 years of difficulty, but in the long run, we're able to build a stable. Thank you. Next call.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ravi, if you can hear me. Right, on the for the year, if you can just give us a sense on how many filings and all have you done on the R&D side? Any good filings that have happened, and how are you looking for the R&D part? For R&D program for the next year.
I think we've done about seven to eight filings in the US, and really good ones. We didn't hit any major first to files. Hopefully this year we are trying another 8-9, so we're trying to target a couple of complex and first to files. Hopefully we'll have 1 or 2 this year. I think that's our expectation.
And I just sort of just to push that, probe that further, the fact that this year you don't have any major filings, and that is a consequence of what? I mean, some programs didn't play out as you expected, or just higher competition than what you expected? At the filing
more competition. Just more competition. See, generally, Lindel, the product that we file, and there are like 7 or 8 guys, we just don't talk much about it because it is a commodity filing. The only special ones are the ones where you're going to be the only one or the limited amount of competition. And US is a winner-takes-all game, right? I mean, especially if you're doing an NC-1, chances are most products, you have 8 or 10 or 15 or 20 guys who file on day one. So those, there's not much. So where do you make money? You have to file where nobody else files, or two, you identify something where nobody has filed and suddenly you file and you're first to file. So those are very few and far between. And if you're able to pull off in a 3 to 4 year time period, if you're able to pull off even 3 of those, you've done a great job. So I think you just have to be patient, Nitin. We're on the ball. I think hopefully we'll pull off another 2-3. We pulled off enough. I mean, look at our pipelines there in our investor presentation. We're FTF on on Irbutinib. We have approved in 30 months. We have Olaparib. Hopefully we'll have 30 months on that. Exclusivity on that, subject to FDA clearance. And then we have filings of semaglutide. So I mean, we have filings. So we've seen the pipeline. So we have carfilzomib. We have FTF. Trabectedin, we have FDA. So, I mean, we have some. And I think hopefully we'll be able to build a pipeline for another 3 or 4. So then we have something to talk about for the next 7 to 8 years.
Right. And secondly, if you can give us some more sense on, the size of the businesses in Brazil and Canada, and how do you see Brazil, Canada, and some of these other emerging markets playing out, non-US markets playing out for you going forward?
So what I can do is So I think our Brazil turnover of our sub this year was about 257 crores. Plus, and we have some billing directly from India. So maybe that is about 30 crores. I don't collect the number, but 280. So we are expecting that business should go to 55 to 60 million this year. So that is one big bump we are seeing in our numbers. Canada, which we are expecting will grow around 10 to 15%. It's already a fairly comfortable business. We have a couple of big launches, but that's in 27, 28, not in 26, 27. So that's one. Then obviously South Africa is going to get added. So I think that's very good. I think these are the major ones that are driving.
Sorry, what size did you say the Canada was this year?
Canada this year is 229 crores.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the next question from the line of Anirudh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thank you for providing the opportunity again. So you mentioned that from FY28, we'll be seeing growth. So can we expect the approval for those cancer pipelines that we are planning to launch in Canada and Brazil by H2 of calendar year 27?
I think the products we're going to launch in 27-28, when are we expecting approval? Is that the question?
Yeah, so when are we expecting the approval for those medicines? Is it within the H2 of FY 2027?
Yes, H2 of financial year 2026-2027, we're expecting approval. Based on that, we expect the earning impact will be in 2027-2028.
Oh, got it. And my second question is, what is the expected revenue contributions from those medicines that we are launching in Canada and Brazil?
I think the expectation is that, you know, we have already given, spoke about Brazil should do very well this year. And, I think we said that we did about, little less than 300 crore this year. Brazil, that will go to probably $55-$60 million this year. That's our expectation. So that is the biggest bump that we're seeing. In terms of like, revenue-wise, we, you know, we're not splitting, but what we are saying is that we will see our earnings settle around 700-750 this year, and we are expecting 2027-2028, based on our pipeline, that we'll able to grow around 15%-25% for the year. Okay?
Thank you for the answer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is my last question. The next caller will be my last question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will take the next, last question from the line of Khalid Mohammed from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yes. So with the acquisitions that I'm seeing and the strategy that NATCO is going to take for the longer term, like you mentioned, more stable revenues and earnings, right? So going ahead, what sort of, you know, spec do we see in the, say, the jackpot kind of business and the stable kind of business? If you could throw some light on that.
This year is all driven by the base business. We don't have any big launches this year.
Not this year, in the next 5 years, that sort of timeline.
I think some of the exclusives will kick in. I think the biggest one, obviously, is semaglutide. I can't tell you which year, where we're expecting launch, because they're all bound by confidential.
I mean, the acquisition that we have done, so that is to bring more stability, right? So-
Correct.
Then NATCO's legacy is jackpot kind of place, if you get me, right?
Yeah, right. Okay, sure.
So in that sense, where do you see NATCO in the next 5 years? Like, the-
I think,
part of the business and the-
In the next 5 years, our vision is that we are able to build a global company which has more geographical diversification and bring less volatility in our earnings. However, having said that, if you look at the business today, we don't have those special complex filings. Your earnings are not coming. There's no earnings. If you look at any of our top companies, I don't speak for myself, I speak for any other top-tier companies. If you remove the first wave generic launch or the complex generic out, the earning contribution of these products is representing about 50%-60% of the earnings, or 70% earnings, depending on which company you're talking about. I think what we can strive to do is to bring about more, less volatility in earnings. So per se, in an ideal world, I would want our base revenue to contribute 70% of our profit and the, you know, the first to file or special product to contribute 25%-30%. Earlier, it was the ratio was the other way around. So I think that's what we're trying to correct, so that we can bring less volatility. And that is the objective in the next 5 years. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. On behalf of 360 ONE Capital Market Private Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you everyone for joining with us today, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.